My business has really picked up. I'm really excited. I've been working hard on getting a client back that I used to have, and they can be a significant income source. And I got back on their preferred supplier list, so I'm excited about that.
Have they called you in for jobs?
Yep, I started one project. I've got two so far, and they're both kind of big ones, like two-parters. So,
yay!
Yeah, it's very good. And I also have somebody, I've got kind of a proposal format finally kind of lined up that looks a lot nicer than what I've been using. I'm going to do more of a PowerPoint, kind of an attractive thing rather than just a contract looking thing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. you know, we sometimes forget that taking little actions can have big consequences. You know, chipping away that stone, and one day we got Michelangelo's David. It's like you chip away, and all of a sudden you're on the list, and all of a sudden you're getting work, and it changes everything. And it you know, it never looks like that. What we're trying to knock on the door, chip away the stone, it just seems like such a futile friggin' effort sometimes. Right, Oliver? Trying to get through, trying to get names, trying to do
all. Yeah, it just you just keep doing it. That's awesome, Nancy. Good for you. That's great. Happy for you. Yeah. So.
Okay, Roberta just joined us, and Carol. Okay, you've got to echo, Carol. Oh, maybe it's okay. Welcome to the call. Okay. We're just sort of warming up. Nancy told us about how she got 3M as a client.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's returning. You know, what we were talking about is her goal was to get on the list for focus group moderators. And she kept knocking on doors and talking to people, and finally it happened. And it's sometimes those little persistent things that lead to breakthroughs. So that's big. And she's gotten two big projects since then.
Great.
I mean, this is what it's about, folks. Yes. And sometimes it's not coming as fast or as perfect as we want. But anyway, so I talked to Sharon yesterday. As far as I know, she'll be on the call, but maybe she's late. She sometimes runs late. So
yeah. I had a big win also.
Okay. We can share some wins to start with.
I had upped my prices, but I still hadn't upped them as much as Robert wanted me to in terms of the size. But on Monday, I secured a 2.5-month contract at $2,400. Which is almost twice. Well, it's not quite twice some of my highest ones. So,
Who is that? Just an individual, small business? Or?
It's a woman I've known for years, done a little bit of work on with, and she's very successful. She has a project that she wants to accomplish in the next 6-8 months, and it's beyond her ability to strategize it. So I gave her a really, I priced it out because I know she's going to be really demanding. You know, to plan it out, not the implementing of it, but just thinking through all the strategy of it.
Yeah.
So it feels good.
That's big, Roberta.
Yeah, it is.
That's really big. You know, Roberta is quite a strategist, and just getting things together and figuring them out and putting them together, and a lot of persistence in what she does. And also, the other thing, you know, she has this big organization that puts on a big conference once a year, a giant conference with what, 3,000 people or
6,000 attendees?
6,000 people, and she manages a whole piece of that, and they pay her. And she said, next year I'm doubling my fee to them. and it wasn't like, Robert, do you think I should increase my fee a little bit? No, Robert, I'm doubling my fee. That's exciting. So that, you know, it's like she kept getting great feedback. Everyone was saying how great it was going. And she's, it's like, you know, a lot of that is because of me. It wouldn't be happening that way if it wasn't me. I am worth something. I have value. And I think that's one of the biggest things, isn't it, Roberta? Is to know we have value. I mean, we have value on a lot of different levels. We have our own intrinsic value as a human being, but we have value in the marketplace. We really do have value in the marketplace. And so many people feel that, you know, I'm not as good as other people. I don't have as much experience. You know, whatever. We have all these stories about our lack of value. You ever, you know, there are people around, I think they're few and far between, who absolutely know their value and they have no fear about asking for money. And some of you are moving more in that direction. But it's, you know, our whole thing about, we're not valuable, we can't charge enough, I have to have, you know, people have said, when I get my next PhD, then I'll raise my rates. And that just makes me laugh hysterically. It doesn't, isn't necessarily connected. I mean, do we know in our heart of hearts that we're valuable? That was a hard one for me. You know, part of me really knew I was valuable, and part of me just couldn't raise my rates. Part of me knew I was really good at coaching and helping people, but then these people, they just can't afford me. You know, whatever. Thoughts will come up. Stories will come up to detract from whatever. A short conversation with Oliver a couple of months ago got him to double his rates. He said, oh, yeah, I can't charge $1,000 a month. That's crazy. So he's at $2,500 and he just got his first client like that a couple weeks ago. So he's going to get a lot more and perhaps even raise his fees more when he realizes how incredibly valuable it is. And of course you have to deliver the value. It's an interesting game, you know, because we don't want to overvalue ourselves either. We get into big troubles when we do that. Or ego steps in and says, oh, you know, I'm the best thing in the world. You know, so you see people like that, and then they crash soon afterwards. Anyway, so congratulations.
Thanks.
So, any other wins or anything anyone wants to share? You know, we're going to have sort of a open session here. I'll tell you what I mean in a second. But I have a question for you. The question is, is it better to have questions or better to have answers?
I'd say questions.
Okay. Who else? Questions or answers?
I'd say questions.
Okay. Who else? I'm looking at you, Nancy. She's eating breakfast. My question is, what do you mean by that question?
Well, it's 12:10 here where I am, so it's lunch. But you know, I think it's a funny thing that you asked that because I guess I really think it depends. I don't like certainty, but for my living, I ask questions. And so, of course, I think it's important to have questions in order to understand things better. But if you don't get answers from the questions or if you don't get some kind of direction, then but yeah. I live in the question, so.
Of course, I'm talking about this in the context of marketing yourself, and we get caught in this trap to some degree of, I want to find the right answer to doing this. Often more important is finding the right direction to doing this, because there are hundreds of little answers, you know, and those answers come to you through questions. If you've got a lot of answers, anyone know the famous Zen story about the monk and the tea? Well, I'll tell it because it's the most famous Zen story there is, so everyone should have it as part of their cultural literacy. A professor goes to see a Zen master, and he wants to know about Zen. But he's been studying Zen for God knows how many years as a professor. So he tells about, you know, I know about this Zen and that and this and that. And then the master starts pouring tea. And he pours the tea and it gets higher and higher. And then it starts to overflow on the cup. And overflow all over the place and all over the professor. And he says, stop, stop, it's full, it's full. And the Zen master looks up, he says, yes, just like your mind. So if you have a full cup, you can't get in anything else. And often we come with a full cup. This is all I could ever charge. That's a full cup. These are the only people I could contact. That's a full cup. It would be hard to reach those people. So a full cup is our complement of beliefs and what's the word? Preconceived notions and, you know, demands for things to be a certain way. You know, haven't you come up against those kind of things in this course? Mm-hmm. You know, gee, I thought it would be this way, but it's that way. Oh, I thought that would work. Oh, it doesn't work at all. Whatever it is. One teacher told me many, many years ago, he said, one of the greatest skills you can have in life is living in the question. Whatever question it is. So, see, what is the big question in marketing? There's probably more than one, but I think of one big question.
Can I say what
yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
For me, I think it's what do you need?
What do you need? Okay, well, that's something you might ask a client.
Yeah.
But what's your big question in marketing?
Well, it is what do they need?
No.
No?
That's a good question. That's not a bad question.
Okay.
But if you have a primary question in marketing, I think it should be, let's see, what do you say, Sarah? She's just waiting.
How do I get my message heard?
How do I get my message heard?
How do I get my message heard?
Yeah, that's close to it. How about even a little bigger than that?
How do I say what I have to say?
Okay, and why would you say what you want to say? To get what?
To get people to respond. To get whatever.
And when you respond, what do you want to have happen?
Clients.
Yes, clients. Was that Roberta?
Yes, yeah. Income. We want income.
So the big question is, what does it take to consistently attract my ideal clients? What does it take? So the whole course is in the context of that. Everything, every thought, getting unstuck, communicating about your business, the written materials, following up, scripting, perseverance, friendly persistence, all, you know, there isn't one answer to that question, right? There can't be one answer to that question. There can literally be hundreds of answers. You know, I've had people that have found ways to get clients But, you know, after they've created their foundation and they know how to talk to people about what they do, but of course that's part of the whole game, is they use one main activity and it brings them all the clients they can handle. And so one of the questions within, what do I need to do to attract the ideal clients to my business is, you know, what is the best strategy for me? What's the best way to speak to people? What's the best way to get their initial attention? And we see that, you know, you can't have that big answer is one big answer. It's many little answers, and they're all part of a chain, and they're all important. So what I wanted to talk about today is I just want to open it up for you for where you are right now. Because we're 80% through this course now, so we got 20% more to go. Is that right? We've got 2 months more to go, September and October. So the question is for you is, what are the questions you need answered or that you're struggling with to answer to take the next step for you, to move forward the next step, to take the next big leap, whatever that is? See, right now, Nancy has got, she's in a great position, right? She's got 3M as a client. They're bringing her a lot of business. And she knows that if she gets, General Mills, are you on their list now or not?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You getting any work from them in the last few months?
I did something for them in May or June. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm on General Mills isn't just one client. It's every person there who does market research. And so they're a potential for,
yeah,
you know, a lot of work. But
So there's, when I see a situation, I see dozens of questions. Well, who are those people? How can I reach more of those people? How can I keep in touch with those people? How can I communicate more effectively long-term with these people? How can I increase the value of my service to these people? Is there anything that I can do differently? And you're looking at that kind of stuff and working on that stuff. And right now you're in the question asking mode of doing a survey. And then the question is, how do I get more people to respond to the damn survey? It's just nothing but questions. You solve one problem, there's another one. It's sort of like, but if you don't ask the question, things kind of grind to a halt. So it's like, well, I've got these two clients, I'm getting business, I guess I don't have any more questions. That's what you call a business that starts to decline. I've just seen it so many times. And in fact, many of you were taking this class because actually Nancy was, she was seeing her business decline. You know, you've gone from, you know, I just wasn't working on it, business has changed, and in 8 months, you've turned it around dramatically, right? It's by asking those questions, looking at what's next, trying different things, et cetera, et cetera. So the question is what's your question? What's your next question? How do you be open to that curious place where you continue to ask questions? See, what, you know, I keep talking, I want you to ask questions, but of course I keep talking, but sooner or later someone will interrupt me and ask a question. So what happens when you don't ask questions is, you know, what happens when you don't ask questions like the ones I'm talking about? In your experience, not like an answer I'm a right answer I'm looking for here. What happens in your experience when you stop looking for answers, you stop asking questions? Roberta's just looking at the screen.
I'll talk.
She's in a trance there. So I'll ask you directly. You know, it's funny, everyone else wants someone else to participate. So Roberta, yeah. What happens when you stop asking questions like that?
Things slow down. I don't, nothing, there's less dynamic. There's less movement happening.
Yeah. Okay. Oliver, how about you?
Same thing. Things start to stagnate, and all of a sudden you're, you know, working on the clients you have, and there's nothing new coming in.
Yeah. See, I'm not talking, when I say the big question about marketing is, what do I need to do? What needs to happen in order to attract my ideal clients consistently and make good money? So we have some qualifiers around that, perhaps. But it's not that we have to have that question every single moment of the day. I mean, we're not talking about mind control here. I'll just install a device on your computer that will do something to, so you're always asking that question. I don't think that's not what I'm talking about. But what happens is when our curiosity is and questions are diverted to other activities. Nothing wrong with those activities. They're the things that you did all this marketing for in the first place, after all. You're getting clients, you're working with the clients, you're enjoying working with the clients. But you've got to keep it in the back of your mind, and come back to it every once in a while. So it might be questions like, what do I need to keep doing so I don't fall off people's radar? Do you kind of get that I figured that out many, many, many years ago? You know, send a newsletter. J. Conrad Levinson said it in his book. I said, okay, I'll do that. And then I found out about e-newsletters, and I've been doing it for almost 20 years. So I don't drop off people's radar. So it's, you know, it's such a powerful thing. So who else here? Sarah, what happens to you when you stop asking these questions?
I stop moving. I stop acting. I stop doing anything.
Yeah, you just, the action often stops, right? So this, you know, this is what I see with my, I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but my clients and the people in this group, is that we get hung up on a thought, we get busy, we have other priorities, and marketing just disappears as a reality for us for several weeks. The truth is, I've seen that it's dropped off the radar for people for several years. I was a client, a management consultant, working with big multi-level, multinational companies, and I got referred in, and 20 years later, all those people retired, and I don't have one piece of business and zero momentum. I've seen it happen. And not only that, I was thought I was going to make this amount of money forever, so I neglected to save any money. I used to make $500,000 a year. I made $5,000 last year. I've heard these stories. So it's like, it's almost too late for people like that. It's really hard to get started when you've got that. Why did that happen? Why did that drop off our radar so much? Why do we, what is that all about? We talked about this yesterday, Sarah. So this is a reminder call to the reminder call. Why does that happen? See, that's the question. See, there's questions within questions. It's not just like, what do I need to do? But how come I'm not doing it? Not to beat yourself up. Bless you, somebody. Not to beat yourself up, but to just see what's going on. Where's my attention? Where's my thinking? Is there fear there? Do I afraid if I try something, I'll be rejected? Is it just whatever? You know, like, since I'm, you know, just a human like all of you, I go into doldrums. I go into not wanting to go certain places. I go into places where I just don't want to do any frigging marketing. You know. You just don't want to. So what goes on with you? So not a rhetorical question, so I'm asking Sarah.
Oh, okay. What goes on with me?
Yeah, what goes on that we stop questioning, that we stop looking, we stop the search?
I feel like some of those underlying limiting beliefs come up. So yeah, definitely. It's that you start believing some of those things that maybe you don't talk about and maybe don't consciously acknowledge. It starts to, the fear of, what if I'm rejected, or I thought maybe I don't have something of value to offer. Like, those sorts of fears start to, and then I go into, personally, I know that then I go into avoidance mode and just think about the things and the areas which I know I can do that. So I just focus on everything.
Put up your hand if you can relate to exactly what she said. I mean, I think you said it very, very well, Sarah. Just a second. I'm trying to change my screen here. How many thoughts does it take to stop you? That's sort of like how many marketers does it take to screw in a light bulb? How many? I've never answered that one. How many of those thoughts does it take to stop you?
Just one.
Just one can stop you.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen a truck that's parked on a grade and they put a little block behind the back wheel? The truck weighs 2 tons and the block weighs 5 pounds. But that's enough to stop the truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that. We have millions of possibilities and ideas and potential and skills and all of this stuff. And then one little idea, straight to the brain like a bullet. So if that's true, what question would it be useful to use in that case?
I always go back to the question from the Unstuck process that says, who would I be if it were impossible for me to believe that blank, that I'll be rejected, or that nobody wants to hear this message, or that I don't have, who would I be if it were impossible for me to believe that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to... Hi, Terry. You are on the mastery call.
Sorry.
Hi.
Welcome, but sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just playing around. Sorry.
Okay. Just place end meeting for yourself at the bottom. Put your mouse over the screen. You'll see end meeting on the bottom left or right. Or I can just take you off. Let's see. Okay. She's someone in in the other group, so she was just checking out Zoom, I guess. Where were we? I was in the middle of some profound whatever about. So, yeah, so that question is a really powerful question. So then, what's another question that you could have that could make that more effective? It's all questions. Questions all the way down, as they say. You get what I'm saying, Sarah?
Yeah, I didn't get the last thing. So another question that...
Well, the thing is, you know, what a good question is, who would I be without that belief? I absolutely do that. So I'd say another question is, well, how do I not forget that question? How do I come back to that? See, I could say that very superficially, for instance, it wouldn't have much of an impact. But if I sat down for a moment, just a minute or two, and maybe sometimes after a while, you don't have to do the whole process. You get it. It's like you get the cost, you get the payoff, is comfort. You get that you're stuck into it. You see, you know, before you couldn't see the box. Now you can actually see the box. That's great progress. Who would I be if there was no box? So you might find that an exercise just writing those words down and actually saying it or saying it out loud. Well, who would I be? Could I be that right now? I mean, whatever. I mean, we have to find our own way into any kind of discovery. You know, any kind of discovery. It's like a scientific exploration into the way through the box. Has anyone seen the movie The Matrix? It's free now on Amazon Prime, so I watched the whole series, or the first two shows, in the last couple of weeks. I'm totally into science fiction. Because it deals with interesting ideas of the mind and limitations and what we create and all that stuff. And the Matrix is all about that. You know, these people are basically in a computer program creating this so-called reality. And it's not too far from where we are in some ways. So the question to you is, what would you have to do? What would have to happen for yourself, Sarah, so you could ask that question more often and get unstuck faster? I mean, and there's no one answer to that, but that's a question that you should have. It's like you're not trying to get anywhere. You're just trying to get here. See, when you got all these thoughts, are you really here? No, you're in your thoughts. You're lost in your thoughts, right? Who would I be without these thoughts? Are they real? Well, they're there, but are they really telling me anything useful? Not really. They're just there to protect me. They're just there to make me comfortable. The cost is high because I don't get done what I want to have done. So who would I be without these? And you have to look in a very quiet place to find that. You know, sometimes I found that and it popped open so much that I just couldn't go back there for a long time. It just popped. It's like, oh, I've been living. Isn't it a little bit like hypnotism, Carol? Our hypnotism expert. Good we have an expert in hypnotism here. Unmute yourself, Carol. So, you know, there's hypnotism that we can do to see positive things. Tell us about how we hypnotize ourselves for avoidance and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, all this talk about the limiting negative beliefs, we do it all the time. We have a thought, and because we have the thought, we think it's true, even though that's not necessarily the case, and we just start believing it, and we become negatively hypnotized to think that's our reality, or we allow other people's statements and thoughts to be true, and we just start believing them. You know, like even, you know, especially people in authority do that to us because we're naturally in a state of hypnosis, in a light state when we're talking with someone in authority. So say you go to the doctor and they're like, oh, you are sick. It's going to take you a year to get better. It could take you a year to get better if you really buy into that and believe that, you know. So that's just an example, you know.
So you call a light trance. So is it accurate to say when you're having all these negative beliefs about marketing, you were literally in a self-imposed hypnotic trance?
You could say that.
This is not a comfortable thing to say. You're asleep most of the time. Sorry about that. But you can wake up like that too. It's just like, oh, I'm believing this belief. Or something goes wrong or whatever, it triggers something from God knows when, and you just find yourself thinking negatively about stuff. Bang, 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 you know? You got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. You got to get here, get now, get present, out of your head. With whatever technique you can use. I mean, some people would say, I just go running and that clears my head, and I tell you, it's worked for me forever. That wouldn't work for me, because when I run, it just hurts my hips like mad and I'm in excruciating pain. Then I go into the hypnotic trance, running is bad. Nothing works for everybody. So we could call these trances we go into, which is sort of a state of, it's almost like a state of recurring beliefs, like on a hamster wheel. It just goes like that. It's not just one thing. It's many things related to things, but it's on automatic. It's just running on automatic to keep us in survival. So the question is what do we do to come back to the present? What do we do to just be here? See, isn't it also a hypnotic trance to be an overachiever? And I'm not saying it's bad to be an achiever. Do you think, let's see, there's a famous guy that's running for president right now. Actually, there's two of them.
One's a guy.
Who said that?
One's a guy.
Did you say a guy or a god?
No, one's a guy.
Guy. But he thinks he's a god. What hypnotic trance was Hillary Clinton in when she set up her email server privately? What was she thinking? She wasn't thinking. She wasn't, you know, stupid thing to do. Really, you know, won't seem to go away. So, you know, we do things like that. So back to my comment I was making before to get back on track. You know, there's things called a success mentality, an achievement mentality, all of that. And I studied a lot of that in the early days of business. I read Napoleon Hill and listened to Tony Robbins, all of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's bad, but do you see a downside to some of that? Always trying to be positive, always trying to be up, always going for it. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. What is the downside? Carol, as a psychologist, you probably have more insight into that than the average person.
Well, there's something, you know, in meditation, you know, you have these foundational attitudes that you cultivate, and one of them is non-striving. So if we're always striving, it gets back to that belief it's never enough, and we're always doing, and we're never satisfied with the present moment, and you're missing everything if you're always working on, you know, getting better and better and better, which is not to say you shouldn't want to improve, but it's a really delicate balance, you know, to understand that and put things in perspective and to be able to appreciate the way you are now and your situation in the present moment, at the same time balancing out goals and not going overboard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're really unhappy if you're never satisfied with what you have.
Yes. See, Donald Trump will only be happy when he gets to be president. When he doesn't get elected, what's going to happen? Maybe he'll end up in a padded cell somewhere. I don't know. Because that guy is driven, right? And a lot of people.
The thing is, it does work for people. Like, look how successful he's been. I mean,
yeah, but look at the cost to that. If you see all the downsides of cheating a lot of people and all these bankruptcies, and he's had over, I don't know, what is it, 3,000 lawsuits that he sued people, and or people have sued him. I mean, it's an insane life. And above it all, it's like he knows it all. I mean, to want to be like Trump is pathological. To be like Clinton is somewhat pathological, although she has some redeeming qualities for sure. So what you said, I think, is very powerful. See, I'm not saying you always got to go for marketing and think about it every minute, but to notice when you're getting sucked into a fearful vortex. It's like, if my business is not going to grow unless I make those calls. It's not going to grow unless I send out my newsletter. It's not going to grow if I have conversations. I just can't depend on luck.
And it may also not just be fear. It could just be this place of complacency. Like for that, maybe that example, it's, you know what? I did the work. I'm coasting. This is nice. This is easy to coast. And you just slip into this, you know, complacent attitude, which I think is normal from time to time for short periods, that you need that balance of you work hard and then you sit back and you coast a little, but you have to remember to get going again.
Yeah.
And just back and forth.
Yeah, as I get older and approach the age of 65, which will be in about 6 months, and And I think about retirement every once in a while. And I realize I'm really afraid of retirement. I'm really afraid to not have goals, not have projects. So this is a good thing to be thinking about, well, what would I do if I wasn't doing what I'm doing? And there's, you know, some people work till the day they die. Jazz musicians. He died of a heart attack on the stand at 83 years old, you know? Or he died with a brush in his hand, painting his great masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But, you know, but somewhere people like that, they have such a love of what they do. It's not work. It's work, but it's not work at the same time. It's exciting to them. It's dynamic to them. So, you know, in our business, how do we find that place? See, that's a good question. How do we find this place of passion in our business that would be a bigger context in which marketing would be a smaller context and would be more easily held? Do you get what I'm saying by that?
My way in here?
This yeah.
is what our conversation was last week, right? About identifying our intangible strengths.
Yeah.
It's like when we know those and we leverage them in our work, we have a lot more fulfillment.
Yeah.
Was the question rhetorical or did you really want an answer here?
No, I think this is important. It's like, see, if I'm just in business to make a living, it's good. You're in business and making a living is an important part of it. If we didn't make a living, you know. I've noticed that people that have nothing at stake and don't need to make money usually don't do well in their business because they just don't have the motivation. So it's part of it, obviously. But the bigger purpose we're talking about here, the, you know, tapping into those bigger strengths that we have. I mean, what would you want your business to be like? So, you know, given that your health is okay, et cetera, and your mind is still working, sometimes I wonder. I was in the kitchen today to pour orange juice. I took a glass out of it and put it on the counter here. My wife put a 2-cup measuring cup. I took the orange juice and poured it into the 2-cup measuring cup. I said, well, am I slipping here? No big deal. But so what would your business be like that if you were sound of mind and body, that you'd love to do it for the rest of your life? Not that you should, but if you're going, oh, well, I hope I can just make money to survive and make enough for retirement and retire as soon as I can, you know, then there's something missing in terms of the purpose of your business and what you're doing and what's important to you. See, for Sarah's business, she shared, let's share this, Sarah. Why don't you share it with us, the whole Jamaican connection? Because this was an exciting thing that she just shared with me yesterday. And you could see when she shared it, and you will in a second, that she just lit up about it. And then we looked at what are the marketing realities of that.
Yeah. I had just a random situation come up where a friend of mine who attends the same church with me, his sister-in-law was visiting from Jamaica and has a daughter on the autism spectrum. And so he asked if I would come over, talk with his sister-in-law a little bit about sort of her journey with autism, and because there's not a lot of supports in Jamaica. So I went over. We had a lovely meal, a lovely chat. It was great. Just, you know, just an informal discussion. And as we talked, my friend's wife sort of piped up and said, you know, something like, Sarah, you should go to Jamaica a couple times a year and teach workshops to parents because there's not a lot of supports in Jamaica. There's not a lot. She said, you know, if you did this like twice a year, three times a year, went up, taught workshops and gave parents some beginning steps because they don't have any support.
You're cutting out a little bit, Sarah, but keep going.
Oh my God, that's been my dream. Okay, way back in 2013, I created a vision board. And one of the things on my vision board was that I wanted to be a part of helping to create autism treatment centers in third world countries. And Jamaica was the first country. And so when she said that, I kind of like lit up, got excited. I was like, well, that's a part of my dream. That's something I would love to do. And she said, well, let me text my brother, who happens to be the special advisor to the Jamaican Prime Minister. And it was just the most random thing in the world. So, yeah, she texted him. He's called me. We emailed back and forth. And, yeah, we're doing some talks about it.
Yeah.
In the future, so. It's a super random connection.
So things like that happened. But, you know, your whole business, your whole vision, all the work that you've done on it, your website, your everything, what you're doing, there's a real mission there. It's not just a business to make money. There's a desire for independence and make it on your own and help people in this way. And as you're doing it, you're seeing a lot of the challenges to, you know, these people really need me. How come they're not getting back to me? How come they're not willing to pay for this? She's, you know, you're in this place of, you got to keep on keeping on, even to make the Jamaica thing real, right?
Yeah.
And, but if you could do this kind of work and make good money at it, make a good living, wouldn't you want to do it forever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think that's something that keeps it alive for me, is if I think of my clients and helping my clients and doing the stuff I do, it's very fulfilling. But every once in a while, certain things just seem like such a chore, you know. This stuff comes up. I don't want to do it. I feel tired. My back hurts. All that kind of stuff. But I got to come back to my center. What's real for me? What's authentic for me? And that, so I don't have to add inspiration to myself. I already have that inspiration in myself. Who's typing?
Sorry, it's me.
That's okay. Just put yourself on mute if you're typing.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I like it when people are typing. They like the ideas I have. Yeah, that's a good idea. So, you know, let's talk to Leanne for a bit. So Leanne has done a lot of things. She's done coaching. She teaches coaches. She was a lawyer. She does yoga. She decided to focus more on yoga in this program. And what do you think about all of this? What are the questions you ask yourself, or the questions you don't ask yourself and you should be asking more often, to come back into that present moment? You know, you're an experienced meditator, right? Spiritual practitioner, yoga adept. I'm sure you have some things you could share about this, or questions that you have about this.
I mean, the thing that I find most useful in my life and what I say often to people is, find a mindfulness practice that resonates for you and practice it every day. That's really, I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is, sitting for meditation, if it's yoga, if it's Tai Chi or Qigong or karate or Taekwondo, it doesn't matter. But there has to be some time in our lives to look inwards and to, I mean, like the things that Sarah's talking about, you know, just to be in a flow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's those kinds of things happen when we're in flow. So.
Yeah.
Church for some people is the place, or, yeah, you know, a religious community.
Yeah. So that's all important. You know, did any of you read my e-zine for this week?
Yes. Yes.
So I kind of like that. I got a lot of favorable response. I put up something on wisdompreneurs, and You know, I wrote this thing at the last part of the easy, and I just want to go there and read it quickly. Just a second here. I said this, the last part. And what is your authentic real self? Ultimately, it's the stillness, silence, and awareness of your essential being. When that silence is expressed in all your marketing, and you could add with anything you do, it connects with the silence and authenticity in others. So marketing from this place of quiet. See, when your mind is going crazy, either way, overly actively creative or overly active in resistance, you can't really, you end up doing things that are off track for you. You're doing things that don't feel right for you, or you're in a lot of avoidance. You can sort of be bipolar. Maybe I should write about that. Maybe you could help me, Carol. Bipolar marketing. Really excited one day, down in the dumps the next. I've seen that. I mean, yeah, just swinging one way or the other. Craziness. So that stillness is what we're talking about. Not in a hypnotic trance. Although nothing wrong with a hypnotic trance in many ways to relax ourselves. There's different kinds, you know, in sort of different between voluntary and involuntary hypnotic trances. Do we really want to be in a hypnotic trance that's always saying, I can't market myself, I can't market myself, or whatever? So Leanne, when you get stuck, is it the meditation that helps you the most, or the yoga, or you know, sometimes we have a lot of things we do.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any one thing, right? I mean, you just keep trying different. I just keep trying different things until there's progress. So sometimes I don't even know. Like, I know, like, just even in the last couple of weeks, I've had something that's been weighing on me for decades, and it just went poof.
What was it?
Private. And you know, I have no idea. I've been working on it for decades, right? But something,
some issue you had about something, right?
Poof. What?
Some issue you had about something.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, I think like in marketing, like you say, the persistence and the little steps, it can be frustrating when, you know, for me at least, I get frustrated. I'm like, dang it, I'm doing everything right. And I know it's still there. But it just happens in its own time sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the marketing and selling are so, there's so many variables. It's the audience, it's the message, it's you, it's your confidence, it's the words, it's all of it. There's not ever one thing. So this is why always asking, what's next? What else could I try? This is, you know, I had a session with one of my other clients the other day, and she's just completed her website. She has an interesting business. She helps women that haven't been able to have a baby, and they've gone to fertility doctors and it hasn't worked. So she does mind, body, emotions, and spirit nurturing, and one is getting better rest. One is eating the right foods, and one is, you know, all these things, and she has a 90% success rate. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, she's got her website together. It's called, by the way, best URL ever. URL ever. One way or a mother. Isn't that great? Go take a look at it, one way or another. And I said, you've got to get more people to your site, because people won't go to her site. They call her. She just got a client at her highest level just this week from her site. And we really put a lot of work in improving her site. She had a site with no message on the front. Beautiful pictures, no message, and then a few places to go. I say, you got to tell people what you're about on the first page. So she put that in and a few other things. And she's going to get, it's the kind of thing you're looking for. And if it resonates, you'll get calls. And she does get calls. But we looked around the internet, and the question is, where are all the places that you can get more exposure? Where are the places that you could post your e-zine? Could you post it here? Could you post it there? And we came up with all these questions. How about being a guest for podcasting? How about all of these things? Because she's in a situation where she's got a fairly new baby. She's about to adopt a new baby herself. And so she needs to do more stuff online. So, but it's a never-ending question. Things like, who else might be interested? See what a powerful marketing question that is? Who else might be interested? Who else is connected with what I do? So as we talked with Leanne last time, that was sort of like, connect with therapists. I mean, duh. Took us a long time to find out that one. That seemed just such a natural. But that takes time, et cetera, et cetera. But who else needs to know? Who could I connect with? How could I fine-tune my message? How could I, whatever. So I, for instance, I put the, what I did, the beginning of this whole diatribe is, I said, I created this thing and I wrote this last paragraph, but my editor didn't get it or understand it. And I just wanted to see if I'm on track. And I got a huge amount of response. And I said, oh, we resonated with so much. It was so great. Thank God somebody's talking about this. You go, that's a really positive response from the kind of people that I like to work with, So you're looking for and testing out what things to say that get that aha, as opposed to, sounds like everything else we've heard a million times. So it all comes back to questions. What gets attention? What gets interest? Who could we connect with? What do we say? What words are effective? What words are not effective? It's never ending. It is. There's no one answer. So I guess this meeting has been about how to get you to think about how to ask, how to be more of a, what would you call it? Not necessarily a student. Somebody help me here. A student of asking questions, or a proponent of asking questions, or can anybody find a better word for me?
How about just like how to be curious about your own business and your marketing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just being curious allows you to go places that you hadn't even considered.
Yeah. Yeah, curious and questions are, that's obviously, it's almost the same thing. You know, when you're curious, you ask questions. What does a little kid do when they're small? All they do is ask questions. When they stop asking questions, that's a bad sign. This is the way it is. Don't ask so many questions. The sky is blue. Live with it.
Because I said so.
As I said so. It creates a hypnotic trance that is deadening.
Like, don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. So, most people aren't in business for themselves because it's like, it's challenging. And they don't have a curious enough mind to figure it all out. You all do. That's why you're here. You want, it's like, how do I do this? How do I figure out? What's the best way? What works? Doesn't work? Well, what should be on my damn website? I don't know. I want help with this. So, these words, questioning, curiosity, interest, listening, all of those are so important. How can we, Meditation is a bit of, is almost like that. It's like you're in the silence, thoughts come up, and you're just trying to be there, watching your thoughts go by like on a movie screen, right? What is quietness? What is stillness? What is being here? I mean, I've been asking questions like that since I was 18 years old. I'd been on the spiritual path for 45 years, trying to figure it out. It's been a long journey. And, you know, while I'm running a business and doing all of this, you know, I'm really interested. What does it take to be balanced? What does it take to just make things work? How do you deal with conflict without running away from it? I mean, anyone here just love conflict? I don't. But we have to deal with things like that, you know? How do we make it an art to live in our business and our life? And it, but it's so hard because the hypnotic messages that we've gotten for our whole life are very persuasive, pervasive. They're practically hardwired. Not totally, but practically. Whenever my wife sees a snake, a picture of a snake on TV, God forbid, a real snake, she could see the most harmless garter snake in the garden, and she would have a fit. Ah! It's just programming. She grew up in Nepal where snakes killed people. Cobras kill people. Every day in Nepal and India, snakes kill people. Much more than here. Like rattlesnakes killing people is not that common. So she's hardwired to hate snakes. So we're hardwired to hate marketing. Hate rejection. Hate trying to figure this stuff out. We just want it to be easy. I mean, our default state is, let's be comfortable. Let's go back to sleep. Let's just dream a pleasant dream. You know, it's... You get what I'm talking about, right? So how do we wake up a bit more? So, you know, I think, Leanne, what you said was really valuable. I'm glad you said it. Find something that you do daily. You know, even if it's just sitting quietly in a chair for 5 or 10 minutes and watching your breathing, that's better than nothing, right? Just being quiet, being still. Now, when you have, any of you, we sometimes have, you know, whatever the circumstances, anything could happen. But we feel that stillness. What do you notice comes out of that stillness? Tends to come out of that stillness.
Peace. Like just peaceful feeling.
Okay, so you have a peaceful feeling. You feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. And then what?
And then I can get clear on what to do next.
Yeah, you get it's easier to have clarity. Silence, peace, clarity are practically synonyms. So, do people find that when they can be quieter in their mind, they can be more creative? Just more creative. Ever come... aren't you pretty relaxed when you're having a shower in the morning? Do you ever get some of your best ideas in the shower? Yes? No? So let's just, for the last few minutes, when do you get your best ideas? Just everyone tell me.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night? Mm-hmm. When you wake up from sleep in the middle of the night? Mm-hmm. After having a dream?
I don't think so. I think when I'm laying there thinking.
Okay. Do you write it down? Do you remember?
If it's a good enough idea, I might.
How can you judge whether it's a good enough idea?
If I'm excited about it.
You're excited. So,
yeah.
Well, ideas are like viruses. You know, they spread on, they just spread. So, but sometimes you have to capture them and think about them a bit more for them to continue to spread. You know, one day you didn't know what focus groups even were, let alone being a top focus group moderator. One day somebody said the word focus group, and maybe you didn't pay attention to them. Maybe it was 5 years later that you go, well, what is this? This is interesting. Well, there's someone else that does this. And they just spend time asking questions and getting to connect with people. That sounds interesting. Then the idea virus of that just sort of took off, and here you are 20 years later or more, right? Interesting, huh? So you can nurture that creativity, or we can suppress that creativity. How many ideas do we come up with that we just write off? Oh, that's not possible. Oh, I can't do that. So, Udo, where do your creative ideas come from? Or when do creative ideas come for you?
That's different. I think I get most clarity when I relax in the garden.
When what?
Yes. When I'm relaxing in the garden.
Relaxing in the garden.
Yeah. Or sometimes when I'm doing some exercises, Qingyi or Tai Chi stuff. So that depends on the mood.
That's interesting. So it's kind of mindless physical activity gives space for creative ideas to come in.
Right. Sometimes you need some initial thought that you can think of, and then you need to turn it around in a 36 degrees, something like this, and look at it from every angle. And then you can think of it when you have clarity, when you have time and you are relaxed. And sometimes you need just a spot of it when you are doing some exercises. So both is helpful.
Okay. Someone said walking is the cheapest therapist in the world. You know, because your body is moving as opposed to just sitting and thinking, I don't know, something, clarity happens.
Mm-hmm.
When do you get creative ideas, Roberta?
I get lots of them. It's kind of like my job. Part of being doing strategy is you have to have good ideas. So lots, you know, they come when I write. I can wake up in the morning with ideas, you know, when I'm doing different kinds of exercise.
You know,
I kind of have structured around asking questions and assuming, you know, I just assume I'm going to get an answer to whatever I'm looking for. So, you know, a lot of places.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm not going to share the screen on this because I'm paranoid about crashing and losing the recording, but I'm going to send you a link to a video, and the guy isn't, here's one of the benefits of sharing stuff on Wisdompreneurs. I shared my post on Wisdompreneurs. I got a lot of response and conversation. Someone said, there's another person that's talking about this. You should check out this YouTube video. And I went and checked it out, and the guy's name is Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Cease, C-E-A-S-E. Don't worry, I'll send you the link. And it's a video called Your Authenticity is Worth Millions. And it's part of a two-day workshop they gave. I don't know too much about him yet, but I'm going to watch his other videos as well. It's about 15 minutes long. And it's It's very mind expanding. He's talking about what it really means to be authentic. And I think authentic listening, silence, openness, all of those are in the same ballpark, you know? So he does 2-day workshops in which he doesn't prepare anything. He's obviously talked about this because he's very articulate about these things. He's not umming and awing. So, but he's talking about authenticity in business and what it looks like. And it's very free form, but very coherent at the same time. And very, very, very good video, very inspiring. So I think I got that inspiration from him for some of these sessions. You know, some of these sessions are training sessions. Some, we just want to have a conversation, sort of kick around ideas and look deeper into things. And this is an important thing. This isn't about any marketing technique we're talking about today. This is the space which holds every marketing technique. The question is, how do you get access to those things? Listening, asking questions, being open, getting your mind more quiet, doing a regular practice, having a commitment and a passion for what you do so that it's really important to you what you do. You're not just going through the motions just to make money. All of these things are not in the realm of doingness. There's doingness to some degree, but there's all kinds of things that can open us to that. Just the realization that we are stuck or hypnotized in our daily routines and thought processes, asking the question, who would I need to be, or who would I be if I couldn't believe this anymore? All of these things. So ultimately, the search is not just for ways to market, but the search is for how to be available, how to be authentic, how to be open to whatever. I say, you know, all the answers are out there, and 95% of them you can find on Google. I got a question about something. You can find so much good stuff. But I'm always surprised that people aren't searching for the answers, or they don't know the questions to ask, or the questions aren't out there, or the box that they're operating from is so small. So after talking to Jenilyn, the One Way or Mother lady, her box got really expanded into who's out there that she could connect with. Before, it was like this small. And all of a sudden, yes, there's people that want to connect with us. So I'm going to take you all off mute for a minute. How in hell do I do that? Unmute all. There it is. Okay, so thank you for attending today. I hope this gave you some good food for thought and didn't just trigger more mind hypnosis. Anything can trigger anything. Thing is, how do we get past the triggers? Questions. How do we do that? And the thing is, someone out there knows. Other people can help you. This class has helped you, hopefully, a lot. But there's you got questions or a million answers? There's a million answers. So I do have a little exercise for you. So this is just a thought. I want you to live in that question of, help me here. What would be the best way to, it's not necessarily live in the question of how do I market more effectively? It's more the bigger question. How do I live in the question of being more present? What I need to be more present, available to be aware of my thoughts, to be aware of my trances, to be aware of my possibilities, all of that, you know? What do I have to do Who do I have to be to just be here and to be open? Because ultimately, what's going to happen with you, Sarah, is you're going to figure a way through the calling and talking to people, a way to connect with the right people that are going to hire you for this. Ultimately, it's going to happen. You don't even have to believe that.
No, I do believe that.
But you need to be open to the possibility. When, as soon as we close to the possibility in small ways or big ways, then it's like we build a brick wall in front of us. Because I'm not going to be around forever. You know, some people after this course, they've hired me and kept working with me for a while. But I'm not into creating long, forever marketing dependency. I want you to have these tools and the mindset tools and some of these things to just be able to be creative when you need to be creative, be silent, get past the stuckness, all of that stuff. Okay, guys, anything else anyone else wants to say?
No, bye.
Yeah, we're a little over time, so thank you, everybody, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for all your participation today. It was great.